Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
1 o'clock hour here on a Monday. It's Cody and Gold, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Draft week, and there's always the dream individuals maybe that you hope your team actually drafts. But what's a successful draft? Because if we go back through the draft history, it wasn't always the biggest, most popular name the Chiefs drafted. And then you fast forward now, and we look back at a draft from 2 years ago, and suddenly the names are like, wow, you know what? That Brian Cook pick, actually not too bad. I know he got hurt last. Not too bad. That Pacheco pick, pretty damn good. There's the obvious ones in the first round. What's a successful draft look like for you? Because I think there's really only maybe one position that they could draft in the first round that is a day one starter. That's left tackle. Everything else is
maybe
still
corner. Maybe. But I don't want them taking a first round corner. That would not deem success for me.
And so for me, it's like, hey, setting up the, you know, it's the depth pieces, and that's probably still what I think the draft mostly is. Even if you're someone that says, got to draft a wide receiver first round, and that's a realistic possibility, there's a very good chance the guy they draft, if it is a wide receiver in the first round, is not having a huge impact in year one, but maybe has somewhat of an impact because of Rice potential suspension. It's the year after. Did they draft a guy that we can go into camp next year discussing, hey, suddenly they don't have Hollywood Brown, they don't have, you know, this guy, that guy, and it's Rashee Rice plus second year wide receiver out of Texas or something like that?
I was trying to think about success from a, like, obviously if I know the results of the player, it's a little bit different, but if I'm walking out and we're in here on Monday and we're talking about, hey, they did a good job addressing it, I think any successful draft would have to include at least two out of three of the positions of defensive line, offensive tackle, or multiple wide receivers, right? Like, I'm going to need two of those three. If you don't get two of those three, I'm not really sure what your plan going into the draft was inevitably going to be, if that's going to be the case. But I know, just like you know, at some point it's going to have to include at least one starter, which makes you think left tackle. The only other position that can start is corner. Even wide receiver, unless they're just day one Puka Nacua and they just light the world on fire, getting the number of snaps, or they take over, like, for the first 4 weeks, let's say Rashee Rice gets a suspension and they get a bigger opportunity than normal and they just show out to the point that you have to include them in the involvement, then maybe you could find a way. But it's still going to take special circumstances in order to do it. I think a successful draft includes getting at least two of those three positions in the first three rounds. And again, sometimes you can't get all three. You can't address every single need in a draft every time. You can't get defensive line and wide receiver and offensive tackle. Might be that the tackle doesn't work out this time and we got to settle for the other two. But no plan to me am I going to be like, wow, they did it, if they don't at least get two of those positions.
Yeah, the defensive line is the one where I'd probably still be willing to sub in, pick,
sure,
you know, corner or whatever. Like, not in the first round necessarily. But I think knowing the draft capital they have spent over the last 2 years on the defensive line, I'm good if you tell me they don't do that until like their fourth pick or something. And if all of a sudden the sequence in any order is with the first three picks is, you know, wide receiver, offensive tackle, and let's just go ahead and say corner.
But that covered two out
whatever.
Of the three for me. It's a two out of three thing. It's not specific about the, I understand the variance that comes in the draft, mm-hmm, that maybe they're not going to get. Maybe the tackle falls, but maybe the defensive lineman depth isn't where they want it to be. It's hard to imagine any world in which a wide receiver is not taken somewhere in the first three rounds of this draft.
Because the one thing we never get the clear answer on with it when we're talking about first round is deep down going in, they may really feel like, no, we're drafting, we want a left tackle. But when you're picking at 32, it's just so different. I had just some friends this weekend were asking, like, hey, so what do you think the Chiefs are doing at 32? And I'm like, well, there's a couple different scenarios, because if the Chiefs were picking fifth, well, then I can probably give you a pretty damn good idea of who they're taking. 32, man, it's just the Chiefs might really want to draft a left tackle, really do. But all of a sudden, if
the guy they wanted goes 19 and now they don't have a choice,
then they pivot to wide receiver. Like, that's what's tough. We never get the definitive answer, but like going into a draft, truly, if we were to get the truth serum from Brett Veach right now, what's the position you want to draft? Blank.
Like at 32, if someone's going to fall, if the wide receiver you love or the tackle you love was going to fall and it was going to just be in your lap at 32, realistically, not Joe Alt, realistically in your lap at 32, whether that's Suamataia or it's AD Mitchell, whoever, what is the position? I guess he'd say tackle.
I think so.
I mean, but I guess he'd say tackle.
I think it's tackle, but I also recognize it's less likely that tackle's going to be there versus the options at wide receiver, I feel like.
Agreed. And I think the biggest thing, the reason why I say that versus the other is, think about Brett Veach and his history. He's been in the league long enough now. Where has Brett Veach overall put more resources, both just dollars and draft picks, at so far? And the answer is offensive line. He once spent an entire offseason fixing an offensive line. He's traded a first-round pick for an offensive line. He's made a tackle in Jawan Taylor and a guard, the highest-paid players at their position. He's used a second-round pick on a center. He has, I mean, I can keep going. He has spent real money and real assets. What he has done so far at wide receivers, 3 second-round picks. Toss in a 6th for Cornell Powell. And then the contracts he's handed out are a 1-year deal for Juju Smith-Schuster, a 1-year deal for Hollywood Brown. He traded away one of the 3 best wide receivers in the entire NFL. He hasn't put he's net lost assets in what he's put into wide receiver versus what he spent on the offensive line. So my gut says if he got to choose anything to happen in the first round, he'd choose tackle. But you and I both know there are maybe 4 tackles, 5 tackles who might go in the first round. And some of those guys, and I think this is probably true, some of those guys simply just don't fit the measurables the Chiefs typically will require for someone to be a left tackle for their franchise. So it might be down to 3 guys. And is that one guy, the other 2 will go in the first 15 picks, is that one guy going to fall to you at 32 versus the, what do they think it is right now? 6 wide receivers going to go in the first? What's the Vegas over-under?
Over-under is set at 6.5, I believe.
Okay. It was favored to be under last week, correct, when we looked at it?
Mm-hmm.
And then the offensive lineman is over whatever the number
correct
was.
I think
but that's offensive lineman. That includes guards.
I think offensive line was like 8.5 or 9.5. It was quite a bit.
I think everybody's a tackle outside of James Powers Johnson from Oregon, who's a center.
But some of them are tackles who aren't going to be tackles. Correct. You know what I'm saying? Like, I know that they play tackle at college, but...
And because you mentioned the measurables. So the Chiefs might even look at them as guards, even though they're looked at as tackles by everybody else.
Absolutely. And if you're wondering why we're talking about odds, the odds still show the position of the Chiefs' first drafted player, the wide receiver is minus 120. It's the favorite. The wide receiver will be the first position drafted. Offensive lineman is plus 135. Okay. And then after that, there's a huge drop-off. Corners, the third most likely, the books say, for the Chiefs to draft at plus 850, and then you get to defensive lineman 11-1, and safety is 60-1.
I think the tackle's the most likely to fall because there's so many of them that say the Ravens, like, you know what? We like a wide receiver. We're going to take a wide receiver. If the 49ers trade Brandon Ayuk, hey, you know what? We need a wide receiver. We're going to draft a wide receiver. Like, I think
that's one that could surprise you depending on what happened. But also, if someone trades for Ayuk, they're not taking a wide receiver all of a sudden, you know?
Or maybe I don't know if the Chiefs would be obviously things could change, but if that happens, if the Niners take one and then the Ravens take one, maybe the Chiefs are forced into a situation where it's like, look, we're not going to pick again until 64. We like these wide receivers, but they're going earlier because teams are trading players or they just want to, you know, they fall in love with somebody. Where do you take a tackle there at 32, or do you take Ladd McConkey because you know you're likely to lose out on Troy Franklin and Keon Coleman, because anybody who needs a wide receiver at 45 is going to take that guy, and then you lose out on who you would like at 64.
I think so much of at the back end, because so much changes, so much of that is going to be how many quarterbacks are already off the board too. You know, if Bo Nix and Penix are both gone in the top 15, Okay, well, that's good, by the way, but also means it's the scenario of, hey, some team in the second round trying to trade back up to 32 in the first round. Well, that goes away. I don't think there's going to be another quarterback, you know, that we haven't discussed. Like, everybody agrees that basically we know for sure Caleb Williams and Drake May, Jaden Daniels, and J.J. McCarthy are all going up. The question is, do you get Bo Nix on the way? Because to me, I think Michael Penix is going in the first 12. Does Bo Nix go in the first round? And if Bo Nix is on the board still and the Chiefs are on the clock, that's a good spot to be in if you're in Kansas.
Sure.
I think there's a team that might be willing to trade back in to get the fifth-year option.
Yeah, you want to – I mean, hopefully, I don't care if they trade above you or with you. Just as long as they're taking quarterback, it doesn't matter. I see now that Matt Ryan officially announced his retirement. I thought he was retired.
He was in the booth last year, wasn't he?
He officially announced his retirement as an Atlanta Falcon.
Officially.
I kind of thought he was done.
Same.
He was in the – I thought that came up at some point. I don't know if it came up last year at any point where went down and Matt – didn't really suggest that he was available, but if somebody would have called him, he would have left.
Gotcha.
I can't remember.
Pure sign to know to quit. Hey, if somebody wants to call me, I will play quarterback. And they're like, we're not calling Matt. Appreciate it, man, but enjoy your time. Enjoy your day.
Because he was calling games for, was it Fox or CBS?
CBS.
CBS, yeah.
It's almost along the lines of RG3 saying, you know what? I can be the guy that comes in and plays for you.
Yeah.
By the way, no, Matt Ryan should not be a Hall of Famer. Win a Super Bowl.
Agreed.
If you would have won a Super Bowl?
Maybe.
So if 28-3 doesn't happen, you think he's in the Hall of Fame?
You know what, honestly? That stink you can't wash off. I don't have to brag.
What's funny is, like, that wasn't even
28-3?
Him.
28-3?
It wasn't even his fault.
His team, let me remind you, was up. They scored. They were up 28-3, as in the offense probably played well.
Well, they should have gotten to 34.
That's where I know people want to, you know, crap on Kyle Shanahan. He was the OC of the team that had a 28-3 lead. Now, I know we can get into this, you know, hey, were you too conservative or whatever? But, like, as far as I'm concerned, that's not the offense's problem. I scored 28 points. I should have a pretty good chance to. I got a 28-3 lead. The offense, to me, did their job.
He'll probably get in, honestly. He has 62,000 career yards.
How many more does Philip Rivers have?
380. Philip Rivers might get in, too.
Yeah, Philip Rivers is going to end up in one.
I think Philip gets in over Matt.
We're not talking about first ballot stuff. These guys are not going to be first ballot. But at some point down the road, I think somebody will end up, you know, looking at the numbers and say, wow, how are we not? Because you got
Matt Ryan is an MVP. Yeah. Philip Rivers doesn't have that.
Yeah. Mm. Matt Ryan had more playoff success, didn't he? He made it to the damn Super Bowl.
Yeah.
Philip Rivers.
He was losing to Peyton Manning or Tom Brady.
Their numbers are actually shockingly similar, by the way. 63,000 career yards for Philip Rivers, 62,000 for Matt Ryan. Philip Rivers had 421 career passing touchdowns. Matt Ryan had 381. So 40 less.
He's borderline.
183 picks for Matt Ryan, 209. They're the same quarterback.
He's borderline.
They're the same quarterback.
He's borderline just like Rivers, but I actually think his case is better.
I think
he's a borderline guy.
I think,
best quarterback in Falcons history.
Well, that, right? I guess now if you look at it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of who am I missing. I mean,
unless you're just talking pure talent.
Well, that's different. Well,
and Philip Rivers had.
Most successful, yes.
He had Antonio Gates and LaDainian Tomlinson. And I know that Matt Ryan had.
Yeah, Julio Jones.
Tony Gonzalez.
Tony G. Not bad.
But.
Interesting. Yeah, so Matt Ryan. Okay. Matt Ryan. Officially retired. Real quick update on the Royals front. We mentioned this earlier during What's Trending that the Royals were calling up veteran reliever Tyler Duffy and added him to the 40-man roster. They also optioned Anthony Vinziano. The corresponding move, you were asking about the 40-man. This is just from Annie Rogers. She says that since Jordan Lyles is on a specific type of the inactive list, that opened a 40-man spot. So that is why Duffy is up. And she says Lyles will likely be silent for some time. So we're not sure. Wish him the best. Not sure what obviously is going on there for him and some family matters and personal matters. But it sounds like nobody's expecting him to come back in like anytime soon.
What do we think's going on? I mean,
want to really speculate.
No, you're right. Because like speculating clearly, doesn't help because if you're just like.
Clearly something serious enough that he needs to step away. And so wish him the best. We obviously had some fun last year with Champagne Lyles and all that. So hopefully all is good with Jordan Lyles. But Tyler Duffy called up, the veteran reliever added to the 40-man roster. Thinking of the Falcons, though, real quick. We were just talking about Matt Ryan, former Falcon, and a quarterback. Their new quarterback, Kirk Cousins. Adam Schefter was mentioning that there could be some punishment coming towards the Falcons for tampering, and the Vikings could end up with some extra draft capital out of this thing.
Perfect timing for them, by the way, because they're getting ready to do, and we all know it, They're getting ready to do fresh quarterback, give Justin Jefferson a big stack of cash to go with their second-year wide receiver who is really productive, and Jordan Addison. And all of a sudden, the rookie quarterback they draft will be walking into the single best situation. It's pretty close. Vikings have been a better franchise and team than the Bears. The Bears are the second closest because the Bears were actually mediocre last year, and now they'll hypothetically get a major upgrade at quarterback, you would think, getting the number one overall pick and the type of prospect. Here's the thing about this rule. It's not a necessary rule. I'll free to admit. It's not. It seems kind of petty that Matt Ryan would be allowed to talk to the Falcons through his agent, but he is not allowed to have direct contact with them. But here's the thing. It's a rule. You all know it's a rule. We shouldn't just be like, well, they shouldn't be punished because it doesn't really matter. He was going to be a free agent anyway. What does it matter who he talked to early? That's the rule.
Yeah.
And think about the other teams that were interested in Matt Ryan's service. What if they got to talk to Matt Ryan 48 hours before he was allowed to talk to other teams? Look, he's probably always going to Atlanta. Or Kirk Cousins.
Yeah, yeah. Now you're good. We were talking about Matt Ryan. Yeah.
Kirk Cousins. Like, it's a rule. I don't know how to break. I don't feel bad for teams who get punished without the draft picks. That's the rule. It stunk when the Chiefs lost a third-round pick. Falcons might get burned, too.
This is where the quarterback, some people have even suggested that the Falcons could draft Michael Penix at 8 and stuff. I'm like, they just, this whole reason why they tampered for Kirk Cousins, they're spending like $140 million. Why would they draft a quarterback in the top 10?
That makes no sense.
Like, draft another wide receiver or offensive weapon, or go and draft a defensive. A lot of people think they're going to draft an edge rusher to get some more pressure.
Dallas Turner. Mm-hmm.
Dallas Turner to get some more pressure on the quarterback. But if you risk tampering and all this and $140 million, Kirk Cousins is the guy you selected. You're not
just look at it as like he traded for Kirk Cousins. If it makes you feel better,
yeah.
You know, oh, we gave up a third round pick for Kirk Cousins. Look at it that way. If it makes you feel better, you broke the rules. There is one very simple rule: you can't talk to the player before the tampering period is allowed, or it has to be through his agent. You just needed your agent to make the phone call, and it seems innocuous because does it really matter that Matt Ryan and they all know each other and everybody has each other's number, and it's not that big of a surprise. But it's very like. Everyone tampers, by the way. Don't get caught. I'm sorry that this is the one simple rule on tampering is everybody knows you do it. Don't get busted. Matt Ryan stepped up in a press conference and had an oopsie. Had he not said the thing he hit, or not, right back to Matt Ryan. Mm-hmm. Kirk Cousins.
We were talking about Matt Ryan.
And then
fairness.
We switched to Falcons quarterbacks.
Yeah, yeah.
Kirk Cousins stepped up in a press conference and had an oopsie. He said the thing he wasn't supposed to say about contact with the team, and that made him look into it.
Yeah. He can't.
Had he not said that,
Kirk Cousins is too honest
out.
Of a guy. You know, that's what it is. Kirk Cousins he's
too
just
good a dude.
Too honest. You know, he just wants to go and use some Kohl's cash on a nice polo or whatever, and he's just too honest.
That's
and
right.
Got maybe the Falcons in a little bit of trouble. Go ahead. Were you?
No, just going to check something. You're good.
Oh, I didn't know if you were still checking the comments on the Broncos uniforms. Those came out earlier today.
Look, I didn't think those were good.
As well. So they released their new uniforms. Now, the throwback 1977
are great.
That's the old school giant, you know, D letter on the helmet with the Bronco, the horse. Like, that's classic. They should just roll with that. But they came out with new unis, and if you compare them to the ones they just had before, they're actually not a ton different. They just look like college uniforms. I think you were right, Drew, with one of them looks like the Illinois Fighting Illini. I thought first thing when I saw them, it looked like UTEP.
That one's good, too.
UTEP Miners is what I thought of immediately. And for the Broncos, a refresh on the uniforms.
That's kind of the vibe. Or Bears. I don't.
The white ones look like the Bears.
Whatever it is, it doesn't look like the. Like, everyone has their own, like, shade of those colors for a reason.
Yeah.
Because then it differentiates them, or the numbers look a little different. I'll be honest. The one thing about the Broncos thing that I'll let them off the hook for is those uniforms weren't dating great. The ones they were currently in, they looked of the era in which they were created. You're like, yeah, that uniform was made in the 90s, and we can all see it. This is where the Chiefs got lucky. There was probably a time in the 80s or 90s when they weren't good enough that a rebrand would have made sense. They could have changed up the look, moved some stuff around, tried to refresh, rebrand, be a different version, sell some more jerseys. And because whatever it is, they resisted the urge at said time. Now theirs hasn't dated like the weirdo. Because like that's why like the Jags have changed theirs. Like everybody who changed theirs in the 90s has now changed theirs away from that.
They have.
Because it doesn't look right.
It doesn't, but also
this one doesn't look right either, and I don't like it.
Also, it's just the winning. Like, if you won in the unis, guess what? The fans probably aren't bitching about it. It's that simple, too. If you're winning in the uniforms, the Broncos
that's
fans are fed
I
up.
That's why I hate the Royals black and the black.
Yeah, they
and
sucked
jerseys.
When they wore those. Yeah,
when they wore those, people were getting rolled up into tarps, throwing baseballs into each other's faces, and that uniform just reminds me of stinky Royals teams that I don't want to watch.
Right. Yeah. I mean that I think the Broncos are going through a terrible stretch. It's time to change. You know, the Lions just now they're good, and the Lions just came out with new uniforms.
The Bengals as well.
The Bengals did that.
Same thing.
If nobody cares about your unis, if your team is winning, that's ultimately what matters. And I will say any uni release is tough. People are pretty harsh on them. I don't think these are like the worst ones I've seen of the last couple releases in Denver. I don't think they're great. I think they again look like college uniforms for UTEP and others. But they're not the worst uniform release that we've seen over the last decade of new unis coming out for certain teams or anything like that.
Another team that could be
the Ravens came out with a new alternate helmet today too.
I was going to say the Ravens for the jerseys. So they had the same jerseys that they had in 2000. Granted, they're better. You know, they've been winning.
They won Super Bowls with those unis. You know,
mm-hmm. Like going back to the throwback when you were good. Like fun and good.
They should just wear the 70s. The Broncos should just wear the 1977 at home. At least at home, wear those. Those are your home unis, and then on the road, you just pick whatever you want.
That blue is so good.
It's a fantastic look. I know they'll wear them a couple times this year.
Yeah,
anyway.
They had Sertan teasing it.
But
plus the throwback logo. You know, they have the, as you mentioned, the D with the actual horse.
No, the helmet's great.
In the yeah,
the helmet. That's my favorite part of it.
What's funny about the rebrand though is the jerseys they were wearing. When was they were? That is from when they were good. Like, it's dated,
yeah,
it's, but that's
yeah,
definitively
yeah.
When they were good, they were winning back-to-back Super Bowls in those
Terrell
jerseys.
Terrell Davis wore those jerseys.
Yeah.
Shannon Sharp.
That's the mile-high salute, man. That was, like, their peak was wearing those. And they're like, screw these rags. We got to move on to something else. You know what's funny is, like, the rebrands are always funny because you go back and you realize you're like, all right, let's rank out. The Chiefs you can't do this with. It doesn't matter. They're all the same. They rank exactly tied for first. But, like, if you go back through anyone's jerseys, once you watch a rebrand sometimes, like the Rays one, you're like, the Devil Rays was better. That little like rainbow, like that was a better look. Go back.
Yeah, the gradient scale, like the yellow gradient into whatever.
Throwback is always better. It
and
just
look,
is.
And maybe it like faded from like the same thing the Broncos one, right? For a while, it's like that's not the style. It doesn't look right.
Yeah, it's throwback for a reason.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know. I wish the Chiefs had a one. The Texans ones.
They just wear the Dallas Texans helmet occasionally, and it's been a couple of years since they did that.
The Houston Oilers colors, home run.
Yeah.
Now, of course, it's awkward because they were the Titans. Now they're the Titans, but Houston's got a team again.
Well, the University of Houston got in trouble. They threatened to sue them because last year the University of Houston wore basically Oilers uniforms. But you know what I mean? And the NFL threatened to sue them because they don't own the rights to that.
Yeah.
They were badass looking uniforms.
They were great.
But yeah. The Texans, I think now they've been around long enough where their fans are just embraced. Like,
didn't
hey, we're never getting the Oilers
helmet?
Thing. They just got new unis too.
Yeah, the...
God, the Oilers one's such a good look.
Well, I think the helmet is like a big H, isn't it? I mean, it looks like a...
They're embracing more of the Houston part of it than the Texans part now. Like, because they... Which makes sense, by the way. There's another team in Houston, or in Dallas,
in
Texas. So why not just embrace the Houston part more than the Texas part?
Because you named yourself the Texans. It's not my fault. Yeah. You chose that name.
Yeah.
Your name's a Texan. You have a logo.
They definitely needed to embrace the Houston part a little bit more. I think that's smart.
If one team had to completely rebrand, would you choose the Chiefs or the Royals? New logo, new look, new color.
That's
like different,
tough, man.
Like, not new color, but, you know, like, variation of the same color
maybe
scheme.
Maybe the Royals.
Now, look, if the Royals just went back full powder blue all the time, I wouldn't complain. But they're already on to that on Fridays
now that
at
the
home.
Chiefs, because the Chiefs have been winning and stuff, like,
really
now just lock it in. Yeah. I think the Royals, overall, their scheme and everything is fantastic.
It's so good. We got lucky in town from a color scheme perspective.
But... Yeah, I guess my answer to that would be, if I had to change one, it would be the Royals, only because I don't want to mess with the Chiefs. As much as I want the matte black helmet, someone reminded me on the text line that the Texans do have a great fight song, though.
Do they?
Texans love the game of football. Down here, the game is big, and it's raw. So grab a chair and sit a while, and enjoy the game. Texas style. We are the Texans, the Houston Texans. Big Texas skies, big Texas pride. Go Texans, go!
It goes on from there. The text line says, that's the text line. It was in the Fesco folder text line. So is that something they didn't make that, right? That's something they played on their show. Text line said, did you check out the Texans fight song?
And we are the Texans.
And so I searched in our system and it's in Fesco's folder. So I don't know, but
we'll fight
like Texans. Hail to the Toro, the red, white, and blue.
That's got
to
be our parody song. Nobody sings like Texans. That.
We are the Texans, the red, white, and blue.
I don't know the backstory. It's from their show, so I don't know. Texline wanted it, but that's their show. I don't know if they made it or what. I hadn't heard that before.
I'll be honest, I have no idea where that comes from. That's the first time I've ever heard any part of that.
I hope that's the real thing that they actually. I hope that's a real Texans fan that did that.
Was that like in the car era?
I don't know.
I was wondering if that's like the video that they played when they revealed the jerseys. Like that was the video to.
We are the Texans song announced from the Texans website 2007.
Oh, that's probably it then. That's
like the introductory. And it was
when they played the Chiefs to open the season.
So that was.
That's we are the Texans and proud to bear the name. That's we are the Texans. We're going to win the game.
That's the song then.
Oh my God. That's real.
That's a real thing. That's not a created, you know.
2007.
Boy, that's.
It definitely sounds fake. You're right.
Woof.
Like.
Fight like Texans. Hail to the Toro, the red, white, and blue. The red, white, and blue.
I knew it was going to end that way. I have not even heard that song. It had a 99% likelihood of ending that way.
Oh, my goodness. All right, coming up next, we will get to what's trending. We'll also get back into one thing that I was worried about that's happening in Lawrence.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
What's trending?
All right, let's check in on the hot topics trending.
Number one on what's trending, some NFL news during the break. According to Tom Pelissero at NFL Network, the Jets are trading former number two overall pick Zach Wilson.
Did they get the number two overall pick in exchange?
They did not. They're trading him to the Denver Broncos. Denver expected to send a 6th-round pick to New York for Wilson and a 2024 seventh rounder, with the teams dividing his guaranteed camp roster bonus. That's the specific detail. So a pick swap, some money swapping around on some guarantees. They're getting them for nothing. Is what they are. Zach Wilson and Jared Stidham are currently the quarterbacks on the Broncos roster. There's a chance they draft one. But Zach Wilson out of New York, and if you're the Jets, about time. Just get him out of the building.
They moved from the bottom of the 7th round to the middle of the 6th. And got half of his guarantees, which presumably wouldn't need to pay if they had just cut him anyway. Like, they would have paid zero of those. So they're just paying a little cash to move up a half a round or whatever.
I hope he ends up starting a game for the Broncos.
Honest to God, in a weird way, because they have Stidham and now they have Wilson, two mediocre guys who have started in the NFL games. Are they just starting to think they're not getting a quarterback and they're going to actually let these two losers battle it out for the win?
I don't think so.
I pray that that's the case. My guess is that they'll let those two battle it out for the backup job and then just draft like Michael Penix Jr. I'll be honest, Michael Penix Jr. might be a perfect fit for Sean Payton's system.
I think McCarthy's a little bit better fit. I like Penix though, but like Penix, McCarthy, and Bo Nix, one of those three I still think end up in Denver by the time we're sitting here on Friday.
Yeah.
If not, then yeah, you're right. Really, you're going to have a competition between Zach Wilson and Jared Stidham.
2-0 against the Broncos this year if that's the case.
Yeah.
This goes back to the thing we were talking about on Fesco in the morning when we were in there
last
in a crossover talk waiting for Brett Veach, where I just said, just get the stink of the losing out of there. You don't need him sitting around here eating up a roster spot when the guy's like, hey, I'm not giving him away for nothing. He's Zach freaking Wilson. They traded up half a round.
Ooh.
Next up on Watch Training, the Royals and Blue Jays begin a series tonight. A set of 16 straight games where the Royals are scheduled to face a team above 500. Technically, some of those teams are close, and that could change. Tyler Duffy is being called up for the action. Jordan Lyles is on the... He's not on the IL. He's on a list that puts him off of the 40-man so they don't have to make a move. But there's a lot of just haziness, to be honest, around what's going on with Jordan Lyles. They said it's a personal matter, but Annie Rogers from MLB.com said today that he's expected to be sidelined for a while. So we don't know how long Jordan Lyles is out. Hopefully everything is okay for him, but at least he's out for the time being.
Next up on what's trending, some potential punishment coming towards the Atlanta Falcons in terms of draft pick compensation. Adam Schefter reporting that the Falcons tampering with Vikings quarterback Kirk Cousins, the investigation with that has concluded, and potentially early as this week, the NFL could reach a conclusion. Sources telling Schefter the discipline, which is likely to involve draft picks, expected to be more severe for the Falcons.
Well,
Kirk Cousins, of course, signed for $140 million contract with the Falcons.
I mean, look, if you break the rules, you get punished. I mean, it seems fairly simple, doesn't it? Like, I don't know. Maybe in Kansas City Gold, we feel less bad because the
Macklin situation.
Yeah, they got punished once, so I'm like, no, screw it. You can all get punished for it. Next up on Watch Trending NBA scores last night, Thunder taking down the Pelicans 94-92. Bucks winners over the Pacers 109-94. And the Clippers get game one against the Mavericks. That's the biggest surprise of the weekend, 109-97. There's just so much talent in the NBA right now. It's kind of wild to not think about, like, the guys who have had zero playoff success, like Luka. You're like, you've had zero playoff success? One of the best players in the league. And nothing come playoff
time. I think rumblings are that he's not the best teammate.
Interesting. I got to be honest. Someone had a breakdown of, obviously the Nuggets look great again. And Jokic has been the best player in the league for, like, two straight years. But somebody describing their version of offensive basketball always makes me funny. Be like, I don't understand how this is the best team in the league. Their offensive basketball is everyone just kind of screws around for 18 seconds, and this big oafish dude hits some, like, off-balance shot that makes no sense that goes in that apparently nobody can defend. I'm like, yeah, that pretty much describes the Nuggets. Jokic is great. His style of basketball is weird and doesn't look like the extreme elite-level players you're used to seeing. He's an elite-level player.
I'm glad we got the Thunder-Pelicans game we did last night, because we were due after the blowouts. We had three or four games where it was 30-point deficits, including the Pacers, got just embarrassed.
Yeah, your Pacers.
That was terrible.
Dude, that's not a good sign. They didn't have Giannis in Milwaukee. He's hurt, and the Pacers still...
Oh, they laid the biggest egg.
That's not good. That's not a good sign for you.
Dame had 35 and a half.
He was awesome. He was flat-out awesome. That's what's trending here on Cody and Gold. I looked up the full depth chart for Denver, so now it is actually Zach Wilson, Jared Stidham, and Ben DiNucci.
Oh,
you're good, Denver. No need to draft. Just roll with that.
I actually think that's good, Denver.
I think you guys
are
set.
I thought about it. You're good.
Yeah, you guys are set at quarterback. Roll into training camp with those three.
Think about all that talent. A former number two overall pick and a former starter in this league in Jared Stidham. Can't go wrong. You know what? I thought more about it. Don't need to draft one. I was thinking like a guard at, what are they picking at? Like 10, 11, something like that?
The Broncos, the question. Do they think they could trade up?
11, yes.
Guard at 11. That's the one.
Do the Broncos have ammunition to trade up? And that's the big question. And so if they actually went into training camp, and remember, they're paying Russell Wilson still a ton of money, and it's Zach Wilson, Jared Stidham, and Ben DiNucci.
I'm sorry, 12 they're at.
Okay.
The Vikings are at 11.
Stidham, DiNucci, and Zach Wilson competing for a starting quarterback job. Oh, that'd be great.
That means that they're in the race to get Carson Beck or Shador Sanders or Quinn Ewers
next year.
Then, essentially,
they're just gonna wait, and they're just gonna keep Shador Sanders in Colorado.
Well, if Deion lets him go to Denver, I know he's in the same state, but Deion said before he ain't going to cold.
Oh my God, Deion doesn't get to determine where his players go, does he? And also Sean Payton, so he's. Now, the only thing that would make me believe that he would do this, he would tank for this reason, is I've stood by this, and I don't think he ever wanted that Denver job. I think he desperately wanted a couple of other jobs that he thought were better, and the only team that ended up offering him a job was Denver. So he ended up settling for Denver, hated the quarterback situation the whole time, ran his ass out of town. He might take 2 years to solve it, just as long as he thinks the Broncos ownership will give him the runway needed to get the quarterback, solve his problems, and move on. They'll probably just end up taking like Penix or Bo Nix or something.
Yeah.
I think Penix is a really great fit for them. Health is still a thing, but he just kind of operates the way like Drew Brees would have operated offense. You just need someone to like finally hit little routes over and over and over again. That could work.
Does Zach Wilson, I mean, right now, if it's those three and they don't draft someone, then the answer is obviously yes. But do you think he starts a game in Denver, Zach Wilson?
Right now?
Right now, you would have to say yes.
I mean, yes. Yeah, he's a quarterback in the roster.
If they draft a quarterback, I would say no. Because I think that they would go in all in. I don't think it would be a competition.
They're not going to have four quarterbacks, so they could cut Ben DiNucci in 2 seconds. That's not a problem. But otherwise, like, I know they didn't give up anything for Zach Wilson, but they may have brought him in to compete with Jared Stidham to be their starting quarterback this year. Like, that might be a real thing that just happened.
I'd love to hear what Sean Payton's got to say about this.
Zach Wilson, member of the Denver Broncos.
Maybe they just don't think they can trade up, you know? Maybe they're getting, like, the rumblings from the teams they want to go up to get J.J. McCarthy, and they're just hearing it ain't happening.
Yeah.
I think they, sitting where they're at 12, they're going to be fine.
Nick should be there. Penix, maybe.
Unless the Giants want to take a quarterback.
And I don't think
that's
the Giants are actually...
That's the only thing I think
that changes it. They should.
I don't think the Giants are taking a QB. I think the Giants are drafting Malik Nabers.
Yeah. I'm with you.
They should take a quarterback. They don't have a quarterback.
They need to take an offensive lineman, I think, even above a wide receiver. Because Daniel Jones, as bad as he was running for his life. Mm-hmm. Every single play last year was terrible.
All right, so we'll keep an eye on that. But Zach Wilson traded from the Jets to the Denver Broncos. We talked a lot about stadiums earlier today in relation to Kansas City. But out in Lawrence, there's been a lot of noise here recently about the Gateway Project, which is the part of the project that would bring a revamped Memorial Stadium. We know the construction's already underway.
The renderings looked cool.
The whole project is $448 million. That includes the stadium and this east side that was going to have some other developments, hotels, etc. And so Travis Goff, the athletic director, last week, was at an event in Lawrence, and this comes from KUSports.com. Among things, he talked about the capacity of the stadium, right, that it's when it opens in August 2025, it's going to be in the low 40,000 range, which is 7,000 less than what the current stadium is.
I have a problem with that.
I think in college, people view it as a negative.
Of the size of Ohio State. Right. Well, you're not Ohio State. You're not Michigan. You don't play in the SEC. Sorry.
But one thing that stood out to me, and it was my concern back in August, the day the renderings came out, I said, I love it. And finally needs to happen. This is the right time to do it. But they're doing it in phases, which I understand. And at the time in August, they never announced phase two timeline, which would be the east side of the stadium. So for those that don't know, they have torn down one half of the stadium. One half of the stadium is gone. They're already in the process of building up one half, the west side, and KU is playing at Arrowhead and Children's Mercy Park this year. So I always knew that there was going to be some timeline of the east side being the old stadium still. I thought at some point we would get news that there's a timeline for phase two. Travis Goff reiterated that it is unknown as it currently stands, and that's why they haven't committed to the phase two renovation timeline. That's not necessarily new information. It's just I don't like that, hey, we're already 8 months past the initial announcement date, and there still is no better track of...
They don't have... It could be 10 years from now,
and it could be worse. Yeah, it could be 3 years of a half stadium. It could be 10 years of a half stadium. And that part is a real concern and a real thing. I know there's been a lot of other talk, mainly from, believe it or not, Manhattan, Kansas on this thing. They've been very interested in the Kansas Jayhawks project for this football stadium.
Are you talking about our guy, Tim Fitzgerald?
And I love Fitz. He
is very obsessed with like the public financing end of it.
Yeah,
I don't really care. Or
basically, my understanding was there were some federal funds that were available to the state of Kansas. And through that, there was a grant that anybody could have applied for, any of the institutions could have applied
for. And
Kansas did. And it's supposed to be used for like spurring economic development. And the entire project that KU announces, the Gateway Project, that includes the stadium renovation, also has the economic development part, right?
The stadium, the shops, the hotels.
Right. Yeah. And so right now, only phase one, half the stadium, has a timeline. Phase two, which would include more of the Gateway Project part of it, is not, there's no date yet. And so that's where there's been a lot of noise. Like, hey, are they using the money just for the stadium? Or are they using it for this? And that's where people have taken issue.
Like some transparency. I don't know if I've heard anything about stadium stuff here recently. Which is reasonable.
I would argue they've been transparent. Go back to the announcement in August. There was never a timeline announced for phase two. So while I told you I was concerned about that from the beginning, the notion that now they've just decided not to do phase two and that they're like, you know, they're like, pulling a bait and switch is not accurate. They never in August said the timeline. That was why I was concerned. They never said a date then.
You're like, why aren't you saying a date? They were transparent in the sense that they weren't giving you a date. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
They were being vague, but they didn't like hide the fact that they were being vague. They're like, we're planning on doing phase two. We'll get back to you on when we're planning on doing that. How long do you think it's actually going to be?
I don't know. Wait, I'll just
they need Kansas to be good again, man.
Sure.
They need Daniels to be like a Heisman Trophy candidate and to be one of the 12 teams in the college football playoff. And then it's a lot easier to go to the people who you normally have to go to for these types of projects, asking for a big old stack of cash.
Yeah. I mean, from a atmosphere standpoint, like obviously the stadium needed to be redone, but it's going to look weird if half the stadium is old Memorial Stadium, half of it is new.
With like the claw lights or whatever?
Yeah, for more than a year. Like, yeah, I get it if you really told weird. Me for one season, because it's going in phases. Like, I expect that.
And like next season, they're going to play half their damn year at Arrowhead anyway, right?
But man, oh man, like if half the stadium will be done in August of 2025, so ready for the 2025 season, if you told me they had to play 1 year half, that still would be weird, but whatever. But what you were saying, Cody, it could be 5 years, it could be 10.
It'd be like Vanderbilt Stadium where there's construction going on. And
right. So I don't
just
know,
consistently.
Man. We'll see.
When the thing, too, is that...
Someone says they only tore down half the stadium. Why do they have to play in Arrowhead? Because the
have you seen the pictures, sir?
If you go and check, there's a live cam.
Look at the pictures.
There's no way. And there's some safety concerns, too. But you just can't... I mean, yeah, there's just... You can't.
Maybe for the first game of the season, they could give, like, a hard hat giveaway. You're welcome to sit here. But OSHA has to give you, the Passover before you step foot into the stadium. Some people would be sitting on like a pile thing. Of rubble. It looked like Mad Max if fans were there.
Yeah, it's definitely a safety thing among others. And I told you
some of my favorite sporting events are the like freakazoid ones, the weirdo ones that make no sense. Like I would go if they were like, hey, I don't know what happened. Arrowhead got double booked. And now it's only going to be like 1,200 fans sitting in this one section that's still standing at Memorial. And you could go to the game. I'd be like, yes. Yes, I want to go to I want to go to the weirdo game. I am interested in I have to go to OSHA. I went to the COVID one always stands out to me. It was me and maybe 30 other people who didn't work for the teams in the stadium for the Royals opening game, the COVID year. And you're like, what am I doing here? And how did they let Slugger in?
Yeah, that was the photo. The photo at an empty Kaufman like during COVID was going to be one of those that you look back at in 30 years and you're just like, what the hell?
Yeah.
But yeah, the stadium stuff. I mean, even playing at Sporting Park or Children's Mercy Park will be a weird one.
Yeah,
for sure. Did you see real quick before we're about to wrap up the show? Obviously, here on a Monday, there's day baseball going on right now. The Yankees are playing the Oakland A's. And in the first inning, Aaron Boone got ejected. He's the manager.
Inside of two pitches.
Yeah, so he was given a warning very quickly to not say anything by the umpire five pitches into the game.
Well, five pitches.
Okay, and the video is hilarious. And he gets thrown out. What happened was a fan right above the dugout yelled something at the ump, and the ump thought it was Aaron Boone and said, I don't care who it was, you're out! And so Aaron Boone is pleading with the ump, and the video's great, and he's like, he's pointing at the crowd like, no, it's not me. It's not me, man. Like it's not me at all. It was this guy above the dugout. Have you seen the video, Cody?
I have. And look, I'm going to be honest.
It's the ump show.
I've said this before in the show and I stand by it. Umpires in baseball are the biggest whiny man babies of all time. And look, Aaron Boone's got a reputation and his reputation is not helping him in this case. He's got a reputation for saying some pretty nasty things towards umpires over the course of time. He didn't even say it. Could you imagine if you're that fan? You're just some... By the way, he'll be on like Mad Dog show tomorrow. And he should. Or Craig Carr. I don't care. If you're a New York sports talk host and you don't attempt to get that fan on, please do. But the idea that he yells one thing and that umpire was ready to toss his ass five pitches into the game and Aaron Boone didn't even say it. You can hear him see, you should care. What do you mean you're going to toss me for doing something? That's great. I got to be honest. That's fantastic. I love the idea if you get
the videos. The video is hilarious.
Yeah.
Someone's like, I can't wait for the John Boy breakdown of that. Because it clearly is like, it's not me. It's the guy above me. And he's like pleading.
It's like, it's this guy.
But yes, umpires is just a massive problem. We already played the audio earlier of Ryan and Hud from the Saturday Royals game where Reagan throws a strike just right down the middle. So just the audio of that was just speaks to why we need robot umps and everything like that.
It's just funny. That's all. It's just funny that...
Fastball is right down the middle for ball one.
What? My goodness. Not on pitch one.
What part of that pitch was not a strike?
Oh, but that one was. Oh, well.
How did Ryan on Bally Saturday?
I just can't believe that the umpire had the audacity in addition to it say, I don't care who said it. You're gone. Said, I didn't say it.
This guy just has beef with Aaron Boone.
Aaron Boone, yeah. I'll just, like, if you don't follow baseball regularly, Aaron Boone has a bad reputation with the umpires because he is very verbal.
I'm just watching
them.
Someone
as a player and now a manager.
Someone got a slow-mo of the side angle, and you can clear, there's a fan wearing blue, and he clearly opens his mouth and yells at the ref. And then the ump, I mean, and then the ump just so immediately good. Turns and throws Aaron Boone out.
So good.
The fan caused the manager to get thrown out of the game.
Managers don't do anything once the game starts in baseball anyway.
We're back
Their job
at it,
is before they hit the field.
We're back at it tomorrow. We'll have Nate Taylor in studio talking draft. We'll also have the general manager of the Kansas City Royals, JJ Piccolo, on the show talking about the start for this season and what needs to happen moving forward as well. Hopefully after a win as well, right here on 610 Sports Radio. Talk to you guys tomorrow.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.